2 weeks ago, we left off with the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians church in Corinth after hearing about strong disagreements going on in the church that shouldn't be. You know, Paul started this church, planted this church, and then moved on. But, you know, he got a report about things that were going on. And he says in verse 11, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." So Chloe's family went to this church and they saw a problem going on there between people. And she thought, you know, I guess her and others, you know, thought well enough or were concerned enough that they would write Paul and get word to him. And of course, no phones, no internet. So however it got to Paul, wherever he was, he did get it. And so in verse 12, we covered this a little last week, but we're going to back up. So he says, "Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ." So again, people were latching on to and pridefully following specific teachers and even the Lord at that time. So back then, we see that, you know, even then, back at that time, people made these different guys kind of like celebrities, right? I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. I'm not of Paul. I'm of Peter. Peter's my man, right? Apollos. No, no, Apollos is better. He's a better teacher. So what happened? This caused division in the church. And so Paul, he tries in his letter here to quell this fanaticism, right? Right? They were fans of these guys, right? So what happens when you become fans sometimes? You become, that's where you get the word fanatic. They became fanatical with the separate guys. And so in verse 13, Paul said, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." So Paul is basically saying, listen, it's not about me. It's not about him. He wasn't called to be a celebrity. He was called to be a what? A preacher. You know, Paul did say in chapter 11, though, of Corinthians, to be followers of him or imitators of him as he follows Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But not to the extent of putting Paul on a pedestal. I mean, I think Paul and some of these other guys, they'd be, what's the word? Mortified. I don't even use that word anymore. Mortified at seeing statues of them in places. They would have freaked out. What is that? Can any of us see ourselves a statue somewhere? And people, I mean, it's like, you're crazy? You know, and here he's talking about baptism. He wasn't opposed to baptism, you know, which is important, but for Paul, compared to preaching the gospel, baptizing someone was a lower priority for him. Again, anybody can baptize. Any of you can baptize anyone. qualifications are, or knowing the Lord and, you know, knowing what baptism represents. You can baptize somebody anywhere, in a pool, bathtub, anywhere. Right? And Paul knew, you know, people are saved from hell by believing the gospel. So that was Paul's priority, to teach the gospel. How did he preach the gospel in Corinth? In the rest of verse 17, he says, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So he says he preached not with wisdom of words, or not with clever speaking. Paul spoke plainly. Without any attempt to dazzle his listeners with fancy words or his intellect. And God willing, when we get to chapter 2, Paul's going to talk about how he, even though he wrote most of the New Testament that we have, he talks about in chapter 2 about being very nervous and scared speaking in front of people. He could write incredible, hear from God and write things, but he had a hard time speaking in public. You know, and, you know, again, him speaking plainly, because the gospel, you know, the story of God's plan of salvation is very deep, but the actual gospel is quite simple. And that should encourage us tremendously when we share. You know, none of these guys, they never had evangelism classes. They never went to Bible college. But they had the Holy Spirit and God's Word. That's what they had. I don't want to say that's all they had, because obviously it was enough. And because of them doing that, we're here today. Is Christianity spread? And who were the first apostles? What did they do for a living? They were fishermen. What did they know? They weren't like these religious leaders of the time, biblical scholars. They were fishermen. But we'll talk about that maybe later. But again, he preached this way, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So Paul believed, maybe through experience, that it is possible to preach in a way that makes the gospel of no effect. How could that be? Well, by preaching and not bringing God's word or the gospel into it, just talking. You know, by preaching in a way that would turn the people's attention from the message onto the messenger. And we talked about this last week. You know, I know a lot of believers, you know, for many, many years. And some people have, you know, favorite authors. And again, we shouldn't be just being fed on Sunday. Really, right? We don't eat just one day a week, do we? No, multiple times a day. And so we really shouldn't be fed. It's great to come here and assemble as family. But we shouldn't be just fed one day a week. You know, we get into God's Word, and there's people, other teachers out there, and you got to be careful. But there's other places to get fed. You know, but the thing is, you know, we saw that people were, you know, they were idolizing Paul, not talking about, you know, his message so much. Okay, so verse 18, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So Paul, again, says the message of the cross, the gospel, is foolishness to some. And it's interesting, because this word foolishness, you know, we know that New Testament was translated mostly from Greek into English. The word foolishness that's translated here from the Greek, you know, the Greek word is morai or moros, from where we get the word moron. All right? So basically what he's saying here from the world's point of view, you know, he's saying, you know, the message of the cross is moronic to those who are perishing. Right? You know, and from the world's point of view, only a moron would believe the message of the cross. I talk to people a lot online that don't believe, that say, I believe in a sky daddy, you know, a guy in a cloud, you know, all that stuff, you know, and fantasies and fairy tales and all that stuff. But I'll tell you, listen, I'd rather be a moron that has eternal life than one who doesn't, you know? I'll be a fool for Christ. I want to be arrogant fool for Christ, but I'll take that. But then Paul says to those who are saved, the message of the cross is what? The power of God. The simple gospel is the power of God. Let's turn to the left, into Romans chapter 1. And I'm sure there were people that called Paul a fool for believing what he believed, especially his Jewish brethren. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, this is why he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Right? People were trying to shame him. They try to shame me. They'll try to shame you. You know, you believe in that nonsense. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Meaning the gospel alone has the power to save. And we talked about this. You could be on an island with the Bible and you can get saved and know you're going to heaven. Alone on an island. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there too. It's not just here. That's what I used to believe growing up as a kid. Well, we're going to see God in His house. You know. But anywhere, it's the power of God. And so there's power in the simple preaching of the gospel. And when it is received by faith, the hearing and trusting of God through the gospel, the hearing and trusting in Jesus through the gospel can bring life-changing power and the salvation of God into someone's life. You know, I love hearing testimonies of people, you know, how they came to know the Lord. It's unbelievable, man. Some people, it's very dramatic, very totally life-changing. Some people are not. It just was a gradual thing. But there's a great website, iamsecond.com. Great website to listen, just 10-minute video clips of, you know, some people that are well-known or known, athletes, different kind of people, but they sit in this white chair and they give their testimonies and stuff. You know, not only how they got saved, but what God has brought them through in different circumstances. It's really awesome to go to. So if you get a chance, I recommend it. Okay. And verse 19 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Speaking of the gospel being foolishness to people, he says in verse 19, for it is written, And this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah, where God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Okay, so again, Paul's quoting from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 29, where the Lord is basically saying, men think they have a lot of wisdom, but I'll show them they have none. And it's amazing because, again, God chose a plan for salvation of men, for the forgiveness of men, and for the salvation of man and eternal life. A plan that is so simple that even a child can understand it. I mean, you have kids in children's ministry right now. They can share the gospel with people. And they know what they're talking about. That's amazing. Yet, as simple as this plan is, many of the so-called geniuses of the world fail to understand it or get it. And I go back to myself a lot because there was a time I failed to get it. I believed in Jesus, but I didn't know him as my Lord and Savior. There's a difference, right? You can know about somebody, and then you can know somebody. Can we know a dead person? No. But we can know Jesus. Why? Because he's not dead, because he's alive. We can still know him personally. And call him what? Abba, Father. The Jews would never do that back then. That's why they freaked out when Jesus called God his Father. Can't do that. But he was his Father, personally. He was his Son. And God has adopted us. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, he adopts us into his what? Family. And now we're called sons and what? Daughters of Christ. That's intimacy there. Verse 20. And Paul writes, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. So there has been and are a lot of brilliant, knowledgeable people, right? About certain things. I mean, how do you get a rocket into space carrying men to land on the moon or these rockets that are, you know, satellites and stuff? How do you do that? I mean, that's incredible knowledge. And a lot of it is good. But all the wisdom in the world has not gotten men closer to God. What usually happens with these atheists and people like that, it's they got so much pride because of their knowledge that what are they doing? They're making themselves God. Actually, let's go to your Bible to Jeremiah. It's after Isaiah, Jeremiah. Chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Right? You know, it's like, again, What good would it be to have all the money in the world and you wind up going to hell? Really? Eternal life is priceless, right? So what, like I said, wisdom, God has given these guys wisdom. And I talked to these people about, they talked to me about, you know, scientists and stuff. And I just say, God created science. Very simple. They didn't. I tell them about the different laws in the universe, right? Different laws of physics and all these different laws. Can a law put itself into effect? Right? Can a speed limit put itself into effect? No, it was, you know, intelligence behind that, putting that law or any law. They just discovered laws. They didn't make them. So who put the law into effect? It didn't just happen. You know, so knowledge, right? The Bible talks about how knowledge puffs up, right? Pride. But in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. And a wooden idol is worthless doctrine. Okay. So back in Corinthians, most people cannot come to an understanding of God through reasoning. Even though I do reason with people, but I found out the hard way over many years, you can't argue someone into the kingdom of God. Usually it just, you wound up saying things you shouldn't. And, you know, it just goes south, you know. And then they'll turn around and say, what kind of Christian are you? You know, so, you know, because we can't get prideful either, because God has saved me from going to hell and changed my life. Now I can look down on people who don't know that. That's not right, is it? No, it's not. No, of course not. But people can come to God on the basis of the preaching of the gospel. Well, while we're in Corinthians, look at chapter 2. We'll get to this. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. And Paul writes, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Right? So what happens is, you know, when the Lord comes to us in whatever way, through somebody preaching the gospel, you know, he opens up our eyes to certain things, but we still can reject that. Or we can receive it. But again, the natural man, he says, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're spiritual. Okay? But it's funny because God uses the very thing that men say is foolishness, which is the cross of Christ, as the means whereby men may be saved from their sins. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Again, The second half of verse 21, it says, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, he's not saying, you know, kind of seems like he's saying the message is foolishness. No, but he's saying that foolishness that they call it. It pleased God through that message to save those who believe. Right? And so God takes pleasure in accomplishing our salvation in a way that no one would have expected. Many, if not most of us, maybe all of us, thought at one time that we can get to heaven by being good or doing good. How many? Me? Yeah, you know. And we thought we were pretty good. So we look at God's word, and he says, your righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that you got. Now, I think there's good people. I think all of you are great. But we're not talking about that. There are good people. Do good things, do they not? We do good things. But compared to God's righteousness and holiness, there's no comparison. None. Right? And so he takes pleasure in accomplishing our salvation through his plan, through his way, through the Lord Jesus. Why? Well, of course, because he loved us. I don't know why. That's the question I need to ask when I get to heaven. Why? Why did you love me that much that you would lay your life down and go through that horrendous torture on a cross for me? So wicked. Why? I mean, I have other questions too, but that's number one. You know? But when he does this, there's no room for pride on our part. We're not going to get to heaven and see somebody and say, what did you do to get here? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. They usually do that when somebody's in prison, right? What'd you do to get in here? No, when we go to heaven, it's not going to be, what did you do to get in here? Because all we could say is, I don't know. Only thing I know is I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't belong here. But he made the way for me to be here. No pride whatsoever. And he gets all the credit, all the glory, and rightly so. Rightly so. Who deserves the honor and glory besides the Lord Jesus for what he did? Who? No one. You know, the Bible talks about how, you know, laying your life down for somebody who was good or this or that. You know, and there are people in our lives we may give our life for. But a criminal or a murderer, would we willingly take their place and die instead of them? I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Verse 22. And he talks about, Paul says, for the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So people have many excuses as why they don't receive the Lord's free gift of salvation. But here, Paul says the Jews are always looking for a sign. And I hear it today. Prove it. Yeah, but the same guys over and over. And I said, please, give me a break. I know, I'm sorry, I probably told you this before, but you know, I tell them, why are you lying and saying you want proof when you really don't? Because no matter what you say, they're going to naysay it because of their hearts are hard. You know, so sometimes I don't, you know, I let the Lord deal with it. Lord, you can save people better than I can. Right? Just try to drop the seed, plant the seed, throw a scripture in there, you know, instead of arguing, argue with this. Right? I said, right? You can get saved on an island with the Bible. I give them scriptures instead of arguing with them. Let God do it. And maybe I'll wind up seeing people in heaven that they did after a while. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know. We don't know. So he says the Jews are asking for signs, and he repeatedly asked Jesus to show them one. Yet they witnessed miracle after miracle, and they still would ask him for another sign. Even when he was on the cross, he said, if you're the Son of God, come down off that cross. Taunting him to come down off the cross. They're lucky he didn't, right? They're lucky he didn't. I don't know if I would have stayed up there. But finally he told them that they would only receive one more sign. It would be the sign of the resurrection, which was proof that he was truly the Son of God. And some did believe, even the Jewish religious leaders. But he talks about the Greeks, or the non-Jewish people, were different. They didn't want to accept God's word as truth. Instead, they loved to debate, get into the newest thoughts and philosophies of the time. And we see today with Christianity being called primitive, narrow-minded, exclusive. And instead, they embrace mystical teachings of New Age and Eastern mysticism, which I did at one time. You know, they don't want to submit to anyone, especially God. And even so, Paul says in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks a foolishness. So Paul says it doesn't matter. We still preach the message of the cross. You know, and again, I don't mean to be arrogant, but who cares if the mention of Jesus and the cross offends somebody? Does the world care if they offend Christians now? No. You know, if you're in on the news and the things that are going on, growing more and more and more. Right now, the Jewish people are getting it. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. But he says to the Jews, the message of the cross is a stumbling block. What's a stumbling block? An obstacle. Because they didn't believe that about the Messiah. Why he came. They didn't believe he came for that. To be saved. They believed the Messiah would come to deliver Israel from their enemies. They believed that at that time the Messiah would come to get them out from being under Roman rule, a military leader, not a Messiah, to save them from their sins. And again, for the Greeks, they saw no need for a Savior to die for their sins. They would fix their own problems through their own intellect or whatever. Verse 24. He says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Again, for those who believe the message, no matter who they are, they know that the cross of the Lord Jesus is the power of God for salvation, and that he and his word are wisdom for our life. Right? God just doesn't save us and then leave us there. We have his word to help us through this life. In verse 25, he says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, again, this is one of these ways Paul speaks here. You know, there is no foolishness of God. He's talking about how they look upon God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, and Jesus seemed to be at his most foolish and the very weakest on the cross. Again, if he who was he said he was, he wouldn't have been there. They're saying if the Messiah came, he wouldn't wind up on a cross, would he? But in reality, he was doing what was infinitely wiser and stronger than anything man could do for his sinfulness. We're going to close. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, they thought of Jesus as being weak. In verse 4, Paul writes, for though he, Jesus, was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. His weakness, perceived weakness, was for us, right? And he talks about us being weak. We're weak sometimes, right? We're weak sometimes. But the Bible says, when we are weak, he is what? Strong. He's stronger than our weaknesses. His grace and his mercy are stronger than our sins. That's why we go to him for strength. That's why we go to him for forgiveness. Because he can overcome anything.